Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Legos. Here on a foggy morning in Trevose, Andy Cohen has the longest commute in this room, I believe, all the way from Tuckahoe, New York. How was your commute today?
Today it was fine. You want to talk about yesterday, though?
I do.
3 hours.
Oh.
What happened?
Took me 3 hours, left
rain.
My house at 6:15, got here at 9:15.
Yeah. Why did you drive so slowly?
I tend not to drive slowly. It was the overturned truck on the Jersey Turnpike that caused the problem.
Oh, I saw that on
I saw that up close and personal.
Oh.
After an hour in park.
No good.
Yeah. I hope you didn't have to go to the bathroom.
Kathy Houston.
Thanks for the sentiments, Kathy.
Kathy Houston, you just are putting to bed a very special issue of Advantages Magazine coming out in July. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about it.
Well, it's called the Big Markets Issue, and we delve into the 5 top buyers of promotional products. And we have some great case studies and
infographics. So who's the top?
Well, guess, Andy. You know. I got this info from you, for God's sake.
I was just trying to set you up.
I'm going to guess healthcare.
You are correct.
Oh, you are
yes,
right.
Yes, you are correct.
Followed by education.
Oh.
Bing, shall bing, I bing, keep bing, going?
Bing, obviously, bing, we bing, all bing. Know what the top markets are.
Is it prisons?
Yeah, that's that. Well, that's number one for me.
Huh?
No, but the issue is great. I got to read it last week, and you've got tons and tons of case studies and great selling tips for each market and cool products.
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
So I'll be looking forward to it. Yep. That's for sure. Michelle Bell is here. She's also putting to bed a magazine supplier, Global Resource. What's the cover story?
You know, it is our supplier state of the industry issue. So we have culled together all the data from our state of the industry survey and looking at things. The good news is the headline is that things are going well for suppliers right now. There's some areas, though, where they could use a little help and, you know, use a little work.
And I guess
little
she'll
work.
Be highlighting that.
Use a little work.
Some challenges. I'm gonna guess
turnaround time.
I'm
going to
guess one of those is trade show follow-up.
Oh, yeah, really. All right,
that continues.
Two
no, but
yeah.
turnaround time is a big deal right
yeah.
now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Because, you know, they're having to compete with other companies that offer fast turnaround.
Here's That's the right. thing. Amazon can do everything in a day right now, right? 2 days.
Yeah, people's expectation. Sometimes they even do same day now.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. For the past 4 years, suppliers have held steady at 11-day turnaround on average, and that's just not good enough anymore. They need to step it up.
So, like, 2 days?
Well, and some of them have
Of that is based, though, on need. Some of that number, that's an average number. Some
it
of
is.
That is based on the fact that an order could be turned around in 30 days. You know, they could have 30 days to turn an order around. So some of that is based on averages. But the point is that if it's staying the same over a few years, then that says that they're
we're not seeing a move
we're not seeing
faster,
it speed right. up, and that's part of the problem. I think.
I mean, some company, you know, the Leeds, is the Gemlines, the Swedes, they have all have the capacity to do it, you know, 24 hours at a price, though. You know, you're paying for the privilege of that. They're just going to have to tweak the way they do their operations. They're going to have to be more streamlined.
All right. Well, we'll read all about it in the July issue.
Read all about it.
We have a special guest here, Corey Purvis, one of our summer interns. Corey, what school are you attending?
I'm at Virginia Tech right now.
Okay. And what year are you going to be?
I'm going to be graduating in December, so I'm an upcoming senior.
And what do you hope to do after graduation?
Oh, work at ASI.
No.
Hello.
I mean, it would be nice just to have a job at all, I guess.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's a good answer.
But obviously you're interested in journalism since you're interning
yes.
with us.
So something with writing would be awesome, or media in some way.
All right. Corey Purvis, if you need a good journalist, when are you graduating?
December.
Then give us a call. All right. What else is on tap for today's show, Michelle?
We have the 10 on-the-job mistakes that may be sabotaging your career. Corey is going to talk to us about 5 skills of really amazing listeners. Andy's going to discuss the 9 reasons most small businesses fail. Kathy finally is going to address the tips for competitive intelligence.
Oh, and we have a call-in topic today. Great one.
We do. How do you know when it's time to open another branch? You know, you think of some distributors who have companies or adjunct offices throughout the country. How do you know when it's time to do that? You may be doing well, but does that mean that you can sustain another office? And that's what we're going to be talking about
Most
today.
Most likely, no.
So if you...
Sorry.
Oh, Captain Killjoy.
Oh, Jesus.
My God.
I'm
so
going to be harsh. I am going to be harsh on this one. I'm just warning you.
If you have any questions about expanding your business or any comments, call us at 215-953-4979. That number again is 215-953-4979.
Yep.
And if we put your call on the air, We'll give you a Visa $25 gift card and all
and
kinds of
pack.
Other prizes. We will. But first, Andy's going to give us the news.
All right, we begin this morning with distributor acquisition news. Halo Branded Solutions announced last week that it has acquired Hanover, Maryland-based Chesapeake Business Solutions. Chesapeake sales team and key administrative personnel will now join Halo. Also, Halo's Baltimore area salespeople will relocate to Chesapeake's offices. Supplier News Now, top 40 company Logomark announced last week that it is entering the printing and packaging category by introducing a new marketing software program. The new technology will give distributors the ability to create custom catalogs and packaging for every item in Logomark's product line. Check out Promogram for more details. Product news now. England has passed a law that will require large retailers to charge customers for every single-use plastic bag they leave the store with. The new rules will go into effect in October 2015 and will only impact supermarkets and retail outlets that have more than 500 employees. Supplier acquisition news now. Top 40 supplier Ennis announced that two of its subsidiary companies have agreed to acquire the assets of Sovereign Business Forms and five related firms. That deal is expected to close on June 16th. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. I hear Joe has a hankering for some fun in the sun in this edition of The Joe Show.
His little white freckly self.
Thank
okay.
you, Kathy.
Thank you, Andy. We're going to, in just a minute, we're going to take your calls. But first, we have our friend Leighton Lee on the line from ETS Express. He's going to talk to us about a topic that's been in the news a lot lately, and that is temporary tattoos. Good morning, Leighton.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, we're going to talk a little bit about tattoos today. And this is not the kind that some of us, after ASI San Diego and a night at the bar, and going hunting for tattoos down the street. These are temporary tattoos. Temporary tattoos. Typically in our industry, we use the transfer type. Those are tattoos that are applied or printed on special paper, and then you wet them down, and then you put them on your skin. The FDA issued a warning a few weeks ago, and it's really have to do with any type of temporary tattoos that might have inks that could be tainted with certain colorants from hair dyes. And that's my dog drinking water, as you might hear over the phone.
He's thirsty.
Charlie. Yeah. Well, anyways, sorry about that. hey, I work from home sometimes, all right? So, anyways, these the kind of tattoos that you see at carnivals and special events that are hand painted have been found to cause tremendous allergies to children, and it has to do with certain hair dyes that are used to make the ink darker and blacker. So, but today we're talking about the transfer type tattoos. One of the dangers about transfer tattoos is that we don't know what types of inks are used in them, and we have to be very, very careful for distributors as well as suppliers on where we source them. So they can cause allergic reactions, skin blisters, sometimes some permanent skin damage, scarring, and it may have long-term effects on people. So caution must be used when sourcing temporary tattoos. So for distributors, always work with your suppliers. And work with the suppliers so that they can provide you with a testing documentation to show that they have been tested properly and that the tattoos are actually those inks that are shown on the test reports. Suppliers, obviously, work with vendors so that they are using safe FDA-approved inks. And so until the next ASI show in San Diego and a long night out at the bars, just be careful, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.
Thanks. All right, thank you. That was Leighton Lee from ETS Express. We're going to take your calls right now. The question of the day is, how do I know if it's time to open another office and or otherwise expand my business? On line one, we have Stanley from California. Good morning, Stanley.
Good morning. How are you?
Great, thanks. How about you?
Well, just got back from that ride. We 550 miles. We broke a world record on fundraising, $15 million.
Wow.
And it's interesting your question that's coming up today, because they asked the same question, you know, when is it time to expand? Is it? And the question I have for you is, are there times where expanding can actually be the wrong thing to do because you're good at this size? Does it mean you're going to be good at a bigger size?
Yeah, not necessarily. And that's a good question that I think all distributors and really all companies need to ask themselves. Specifically, if you're looking to open a new office, you need to be just as bursting at the seams as you possibly can be, and know that the additional cost you're going to take on can be, you can withstand that. As far as expanding to new markets or just to make your business larger, it's something you need to evaluate. You need to know that you can service the additional clients as well as you're servicing your clients today. So it's a legitimate question that I think people need to ask themselves. Everybody looks to grow and expand, but it's not always right for every business. And you need to know what some of those pitfalls could be. And the major one is cash flow. You take a hit to your cash flow when you put added expenses onto the onto your balance sheet. So that's something to be careful about.
Gotcha.
All right. Thanks for calling, Stanley, and congratulations on raising all that money. That was for AIDS research, correct?
Yeah, for AIDS, people living with HIV and AIDS, people for services, for finding a cure, and all that goes with that.
That's
awesome.
It's
very exciting. I was thinking about you guys on Tuesday morning, but I couldn't pull over and call in.
we would have been very
impressed. That would have been a good call.
Well, congratulations on that, and thanks for calling. Have a great day, Stanley.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
On line four, we have Brad. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. So my business has been doing well for the past few years, and I'm thinking of opening another office on the opposite side of the state where I live, and I'm in Maryland. Just any suggestions for when it's the right time to do that?
Andy?
Well, Andy
never.
Seems to be the naysayer on this topic.
I don't know that it's always necessary. I mean, certainly if you have salespeople or a salesperson on the other side of the state that can kind of run your business, I would...
Without a lot of overhead.
Yeah, I would essentially have them work out of their house or something that is a low-cost alternative to an office. You really want to be careful when expanding and opening new offices because there is there's overhead included in that that's more than just rent and electricity and all those things. There's a lot that goes into it that needs to be evaluated. And if it's not fully evaluated, then your cash flow takes a hit that you that can be difficult to come back from.
Isn't there something to be said though for taking the chance to do more and to grow and to, you know, build your business through that kind of growth?
There is something to be said for that if you have financial backing.
Well, and the question
I just think that most don't. Most distributors don't have a wealth of financial backing at their disposal. They don't have a bank account that is unlimited to expand with. You need investment to be able to do that, really.
Well, or do you? I mean, if you have, if you have someone on the other side of the state who's willing to work out of their home and could service the clients rather
that
than you spending your time driving across the state to service those clients, then it actually is probably a smart investment.
Yeah, I think you can expand smartly. I don't think that's what Michelle was getting at exactly. I agree that that's the way to do it in a way that that is a little bit more conservative. There is the risky approach, and you open up a shiny new office and hire people and, you know, try to get as many new clients as you can. But that is dependent on having some investment behind you.
Is there some kind of formula? Like, generally speaking?
I'm sure there is some kind of formula, but I don't know exactly what it is.
I think the formula is no money because it's funny. I was just listening to Mark Cuban, a video of him talking about this because he was at the Inc. Summit, Growth Summit this week.
And he said...
We lost our crawler.
Well, we're going to keep talking anyway. he said anyone who starts a business with a huge loan is a moron. Which, you know, those are kind of strong words. Now,
I know what he means.
But, you know, it's... He said there's plenty of businesses you can start. You know, you should be modest in your, you know, initial investments and see, you know, some payoff before you move ahead.
To answer your question, I have seen when you're taking on additional expenses, say an office or new employees or additional overhead, fixed overhead,
mm-hmm.
I have seen various people say you want to make sure you have at least 3 to 6 months of that cost mm-hmm. in the bank. So whatever that extra cost is you want to know that that cash is on hand as opposed to just dependent on revenue coming in. So there are some metrics that are like that. But, if you're taking off fixed overhead, you better make sure that you have money behind you already to support that, as opposed to the plan that, you know, oh, we got all these new clients and all this new revenue is coming in. Well, you know, we can forecast that out and say we'll definitely have that 6 to 12 months down the line. You might not. And then where's your cash flow?
And you don't want to take out a big loan.
No, you don't. No.
We've got some Facebook comments on this topic. Michelle?
Well, in opposition to Andy's naysayer comment,
bring it on.
Ryan Schott, who says, when you have too much business to handle with your existing staff, it's time to expand.
But then again, goes back to Melinda's point, hire somebody in a different part of the state or whatever.
I wouldn't disagree with that. If you have too much business if your company at its current size can't handle the amount of business you have, then yeah, some changes are needed. And you need to hire extra people, or you need to get a salesperson, like our previous caller said, on the other side of the state, to ensure that you can fulfill that. But it doesn't necessarily mean taking a huge amount of overhead on top of what you already have.
So David Garthwaite kind of takes a different tact. He says expansion should always be happening, but in a different way. Maybe add a web store, market to a new area, add another phone line. You don't have to move to a new office space or add staff to keep your business expanding.
Right. That's I agree with that entirely. Your business model, if your business model is working today and you're hitting clients and revenue is increasing every month, that means what you're doing is successful and what you're doing is working and your go-to-market strategy is something that you can expand on. And so I would do like that, like the person who wrote in said, apply that model to other markets, apply that model to other types of businesses, other types of creative offerings that you can give to your clients. That's something you certainly want to expand on.
All right. Well, we're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, Haynes, and when we return, Michelle's going to tell us all the mistakes we're making that are sabotaging all of our careers.
Haynes Branded Printware has a new website designed specifically for screen printers and promotional product distributors. HaynesInc.com features detailed product information and resources to help you make the most of Haynes t-shirts and fleece. For the first time, you can download high-res front and back hollows of every product in every color in the format and resolution you need. Apparel pages are organized by color and product line, so you can easily find exactly what you're looking for. In addition to high-res hollows, you will also find helpful sales tips on every product page. Each product is assigned a helpful return on investment scenario to illustrate the untapped return potential for you and your customers in every interaction. In our resources section, a dedicated return on investment page provides additional questions and insight to help you better understand how to meet your customers' needs with better products and better guidance. Visit HaynesInc.com today for high-res hollows, sales tips, and many more resources.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show. Kathy, it sounds like you're saying holla, high-res hollows. Is that what you're saying in that?
Hollows.
What is she saying?
Hollows. The Jersey accent's coming through, I think.
I was hollows.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I'm just going to imagine that didn't happen.
Michelle, you have some mistakes that some of us could be making that could be sabotaging our careers. So let us find out what they are.
I want to see how many I can check off.
You and I can probably check off quite a few. So if you haven't gotten a promotion in quite a while, you may not be making obvious mistakes like, company policy violations or anything that would require you to have to go into HR. But there are subtle things that you could be doing that are preventing you from getting a promotion.
It was the way you said it. you're not breaking the law.
You're breaking the law, but you're doing other stuff that's wrong. Faking it when you don't understand something. And who?
Oh, no, I don't do that.
Who hasn't been in a meeting where someone asked you, and instead of saying, you know what, I don't know, I'll get back to you, you kind of try to
BS your way through it.
That just doesn't work. People don't want that. They would rather hear the truth and know that you'll follow up with them at a later date. Not being responsive. God, this drives me crazy, especially internally when you send an email to someone and it takes them, days to get back to you. People seem to remember that, and it's kind of like putting a little red check next to your name. Not continuing to network even within your own company. And I've seen that happen again and again. People mm-hmm. just perhaps don't leave their offices and get to know other people in other departments. And
that's
you
a
know,
big thing of yours.
It is a big thing of mine because, you know, we just had a happy hour the other day with the finance team
of
at
course,
ASI.
I didn't go to the happy hour, even though I'm wholeheartedly agreeing with Michelle. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's a nice idea. I mean, these are two departments who typically don't have much interaction together, but we decided to have a joint happy hour and it went really well.
Did you loosen those finance people up?
They loosened us up. They are way crazier than we
are. I don't think
they
have a problem loosening up.
Way crazier than we are.
From what I understand.
Joe Haley said that they are the cool department and we are losers.
And he would know.
I like it.
Not owning your mistakes.
Ah.
Anybody guilty of that?
No.
Kathy has no problem.
Yeah,
with
people
mistakes.
Appreciate what people.
There's a ton of these, and I'm gonna. We can put them on our website at asicentral.com/radio. But here's one that may be familiar to some people. Griping about your job. Anybody?
Interesting.
You know what? A little bit of that is healthy. At times.
A little bit is fine, but when you do it over and over again, you just become white noise, and people don't want to be around that. They don't want to be around the negativity. So
everyone's agreeing with this statement, right?
Yes.
Okay.
With what statement?
All right. I just, you know, if someone were to complain soon, then I would.
What if you don't necessarily?
I would throw it back in your
what
face.
What if you don't necessarily complain about your job, but you complain about other people
I
at
think
your
it's
job?
All
it's all related. Yeah,
it's all related. All right, we're going to put those online at asicentral.com/radio, and you can see if you're making any of these mistakes. Now we have Corey on the spot here. Corey's got some secrets or skills that really amazing listeners have. Let's see if we have these skills,
yeah,
Corey.
Keep your ears open. Well, listening, we all know, is one of the most underappreciated skills. So here are five, you know, that we all should have if we want to become a better listener. The first one is be present, be in the moment. If you're going to take in what another person is saying, you have to truly focus your mental awareness on them, push distractions aside.
So no texting while someone's talking to
you. Right, you can't do that. Give them the gift of your attention. This will make them feel important and make you a better listener.
It's a big deal. That's what the best listeners do. They focus on you all the time.
They put that up in our management training this week, too.
I'm guilty of not always doing that,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, you are, Andy. Thanks.
What?
Or like when you're talking to someone in an event and they're looking past you to see who else is in the room.
Oh, I hate
that.
That
drives me crazy.
It's annoying.
Right, yeah. When you're having a conversation with somebody, just be there. Mm-hmm. Be there and talk to them and look them in the eye and know that you're listening to them. It's a big
Sometimes
deal.
If people do that, I purposely say something crazy just to see if they're paying attention. Like, well, I just got back from Iran. And like, see if they even notice.
It's a good tactic.
All right, go ahead, Corey.
The next one is turn down the inner voice. You know, remain objective when listening to people. There's plenty of time after.
Michelle. Michelle knows she has that inner voice that just never stops.
No. The inner voice that says, you're an idiot.
Related to that, should you hand someone a dum-dum lollipop if you think of what they said is dumb? Is that part of the
story? Did she do that?
I do. I have a bag of dum-dum lollipops in my office.
But it shows she's listening.
And says something stupid,
that's true,
they get a dum-dum.
It does say she's listening.
Yeah, it shows you're listening.
It doesn't say she's not being judgmental, but
no,
she is listening.
She might be listening, but she's as dismissive as one could
yeah,
be.
Yeah, those inner voices are going on.
All right, sorry. Go ahead, Corey.
No, that's cool. The third step is to hold up a mirror. So if you're talking to someone, they like, sort of reiterate what they said. This kind of lets them know you're paying attention.
Right.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a counselor's tactic, too. So what I'm hearing, Kathy,
right,
is that you're frustrated at blah, 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 blah.
You would be correct.
No, that's a very good tactic.
I thought we weren't complaining today.
She brought it up.
The next step is sort of ask for clarification. So if you're in a conversation and you hear something you're not really sure about, so ask them, like, what do you mean by the word interesting? Or why do you think that's important? You know, it kind of, like, helps you with your own perception of the information.
Okay.
Very good.
Those are very good tips. We're going to put those all online at asicentral.com/radio. Thank you, Corey. Andy, we were just talking about small business expansion. What are some reasons why small businesses fail? Apparently, you've got them right here.
Yeah, the survival rate on small businesses is pretty woeful. So within the first 1 to 5 years, many go out of business. And here's some of the reasons why. And it does actually go back to what we were talking about with
lack of a business plan,
with out of control growth. It's not that.
Okay.
Although that is an issue, but that's not one of these here. So I'll go over a few of them. We'll post the rest of them to our website. The first is out of control growth. If you are growing at hyper rates and suddenly you can't service the clients the new clients that are coming in at the same rate that you had serviced previous clients, then you have a problem on your hands. You need to forecast your business as well as you possibly can. Certainly, you don't want to deny your company of growth, but you want to know that your business, both financially and from a service standpoint, can actually withstand that increased business. So make sure you're keeping tabs on that. And if you need to grow your service organization along with it, make sure you do that. The second is poor accounting. People just tend not to know what all of their costs are. And that kind of goes to my point from earlier, which was, not taking full consideration of what all of your overhead costs are. So you really need to know every single cost that goes into your business and that takes away from your bottom line. So make sure you're understanding all of your real bottom lines to get a complete read on
and understand
what your cash flow is.
Don't just measure revenue, but profit is obviously...
It's not just gross profit. That's something that from a deal to deal and a client to client basis, you want to know what your gross profit percentage is. But you need to know from an overall business standpoint and an overall operational standpoint what your net profit is and make it your real net profit. Not just minus cost of goods and delivery, but minus everything that goes into your business. So that could be a car expense, that could be gas if you're driving, to your company every day, or if you're delivering goods, then the gas that went into that delivery, it should be minus from your net profit. It's a cost. You have to pay it. It's got paid from somewhere, so you have to pay it. And the last that I'll mention here, and there's actually 9 of these, but we'll put the rest online, is really not anticipating changing customer needs. You need to be surveying your customers on a regular basis to understand what their needs are. And if they're changing, and if their buying habits are changing, or what they want from you is changing, you need to be able to anticipate that. And many businesses just don't, and they end up failing because of it.
Okay, we're going to put that those tips online as well at sicentral.com/radio. Michelle, this is your favorite part of the show, isn't it?
Oh, God, already?
Wow. Time flies because we're having fun. Our editors are going to talk about their favorite products of the week. Michelle, why don't you get us started?
Mine is actually really, really cool, and it's from Tao Specialties, ASI 91605, and it is a cotton sarong. You know, this company is known for basically doing towels, but they have all these other cool products. They have tote bags, everything you could use for the beach. But anyway, this is a really, really cool sarong that you can put on if you're at the beach over your bathing suit, and it comes in bright and festive colors. Fuchsia and orange and turquoise and lime.
Ooh, which color will you be wearing at your beach this summer?
You know, the more tan I get, probably the turquoise and lime.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Ah. Yeah, that's right. What I was thinking, too.
Andy, what's your favorite product?
Andy's going to rock the fuchsia.
Sarong boy.
Mine is called the Piggyback, and it is a cell phone holder which actually can clip to any monitor or laptop or tablet or really just about anything. So you can, when you're on the go, you could, in an airport or wherever you're traveling, you could clip this holder and put your cell phone in it. It's pretty cool. Check it out online now. It's from AmeriCraft Products, and that is ASI 86364.
All right, Kathy, bring us home.
All right, well, mine's a little bit on the pricier side, but I figured it'd be a good fit for company store programs.
You're an extravagant gal.
Exactly. You know me. Custom embroidered personalized chairs. They come in all varieties, beanbags, recliners, office, etc. from Flash Furniture, ASI 54575. You can also suggest them to a corporate client to personalize the boardroom.
All right.
I want one.
That's
of those.
A good idea.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to put pictures of those products online at asicentral.com/radio. We are out of time today. Thanks for listening. Thanks to today's show sponsor, Haynes. And tune in next week. Michelle, I think you and I may call in from Canada. How about it? From the ASI Power Summit Canada.
A boat.
So,
right.
Yeah, how do we say that?
What's a boat?
The summit.
A boot.
We'll be talking about Canada. All right. Have a great week, everyone. Thanks for listening.